good morning. You are listening to People Rise Up on your non-commercial community radio station, KBOO, 90.7 FM, Portland. My name's Andrew Geller, and this week we're going to revisit the issue of whether or not electoral integrity falls under the concept of national security. Seems like it should. And joining me to talk about this idea, as well as having feedback on some new reports and very current news, including, I believe, yesterday's election in Ohio, is Kathleen Walsh. She is an investigator and researcher with Black Box Voting. Welcome to the program, Kathleen.
Thanks, Andrew. It's Wynn, just so that people won't be confused. Kathleen Wynn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
How in the world have I always known it as Walsh?
I don't know, but it's a nice name. I like it.
Okay. Maybe I'll use both of them.
There you go.
Okay, so it seems like some of the... Let's go to the report part of what I wanted to talk about, and we'll kind of segue towards more current news later on. Now, many people know that the 2000 election had some, let's just say, odd things happen. It happened again in 2002 in some state races, and then again in 2004 nationally, although not necessarily always in the same place. Following the 2000 election, the Help America Vote Act was passed, and it was supposed to fix everything. Just briefly, I guess, before we get to this report, how do you feel the Help America Vote Act has been implemented regarding fixing the problems from the 2000 election, just kind of briefly and generally?
Well, basically, it was rammed through so quickly, no one really read it. And unfortunately, it's like the Help America, Leave No Child Behind, it's only one-third funded. And it really couldn't possibly, in my opinion, have addressed all the problems because we've never really investigated what the problems were. So I think that's part of the problem, and we're trying to find a quick fix, and there is no quick fix to decades of a voting system, election system and process that has become increasingly privatized to the point, as well as corruption.
Okay. Now, in 2004, again, problems in the national election, many contested states. And it's not over. For people who think that that's all over and done with, people in several states are still pursuing challenges to their vote counts, Ohio being one of them. And there was an election there yesterday that we'll talk about. So January of this year, Representative John Conyers from Michigan released a really large report, which, let me see, where did I put it here? It basically had to do with the state of Ohio, what went wrong there. And the most thorough investigation of voting problems in the past, say, 5 years. And not a whole lot has happened as a result. And based on this report that was released on July 4th, prepared for Black Box Voting by a Finnish researcher, specifically regarding Diebold optical scan design machines, it doesn't seem like anything's being fixed sort of anywhere, or fixed in the right way, I should say.
Yeah, fixed, that's a loaded word these days. Yes, you're correct, and that is mind-boggling because I think it should be a red flag to folks that when you have evidence, this is not opinion or theory, the report that Black Box Voting facilitated by bringing this gentleman from Finland, that's his forte in Europe, in security for such, and he knew before he even got here where he thought one of the ways to penetrate the security of these systems, and he was absolutely correct. And he says, oh, there's so many more. And that you got to take into consideration the certification of the machines. And so we can't look at this as a black and white, one thing is wrong, if we fix that, bam, it's over with. No, there are many things wrong, and they all work together to give this, to put our elections into the position of, they're totally broken, because they're privatized for one, and I don't know that anyone, if you think about it, could find that not be a dangerous thing, because that leaves the partnership between vendors who want to make a profit with our election officials who are totally dependent on them because of this proprietary software and the running of the machinery and technical support and whatever, that the American people's best interest is left in the back seat. It's not totally left on the side of the street altogether.
Well,
I think that we have to go, why isn't there more? I'm angry because more people aren't angry.
And thank God for your
shows like yours who get this information out to people, because the media doesn't seem to be covering it, and so that's part of the problem too.
Well, and that's exactly the issue addressed in an article by a well-known author, speaker, and periodic KABU guest, Mark Crispin Miller,
right,
in a brand new article in the current issue of Harper's Magazine, and that is called None Dare Call It Stolen, Ohio, the Election, and America's Servile Press. Read it. It's a great article. Now, I just want to read the first short paragraph of the executive summary of the I'm going to refer to this as the Hursty Report, because the researcher's last name is Hursty, or the Black Box Voting Report from July of this year, a month ago. Quote, the findings of this study indicate that the architecture of the Diebold precinct-based optical scan voting system, and here's the important part, folks, inherently supports the alteration of its basic functionality and thus the alteration of the produced results each time an election is prepared. Now, for those of you that missed what that says because of the way it was written, it said you can make the results anything you want every time you run the machine, and you, it doesn't say this, but later in the report it says, and it can be hidden perfectly.
Yeah, no detection, no bells and whistles.
Now, and Hursty cracked this voting system in 5 minutes?
He was allowed some memory cards from Leon County election official, a wonderful guy whose integrity is, you know, to die for. I mean, all election officials should follow his example and question these things as he has. And he just allowed us 3 memory cards for Mr. Hursty to just simply see, figure out how he could check out the programming within them. And so in a 24-hour period, he had to get a way to download it so he can look at the program. But within 5 minutes, bam, he knew by the way it was set up in the architecture, there was a big, huge space allowed that allowed for him to be able to write anything he wanted, and it would act on the vote data, which is in the memory card, which is like a ballot box, and alter it like the report says. And he did it 3 different ways. And then when we walked into and he never saw the optical scan machine until we went to Leon County with the memory cards after he had reprogrammed them, put them in the optical scan machine. It just welcomed it. Did not notice anything out of place. It didn't acknowledgement that someone unauthorized had reprogrammed it. And at the end of the day, each one of the programs worked perfectly and shocked the election official, who was told by the state's examiner, Paul Kraft, that this could not be done.
Now, this report deals exclusively with a particular Diebold machine.
Right.
There are several other major electronic voting system manufacturers.
Absolutely.
There's ES&S, there's Sequoia.
Hardender Civic.
Yep, Microvote, and a couple others. And now,
we're not picking on Diebold. We just happen to have an election official who happens to use Diebold optical scan machine. And so if he was willing to allow us to look at it, we would look at all of them. We want to, and it is our goal to look at all of them, because, remember, the beginning process back in the late 80s, 1990s, when the FEC put out some standards voluntary for these people to, you know, the vendors to follow.
And that's Federal Election Commission?
Yes.
Right.
The key here is the certification process was such that the people who certified these systems either didn't comply with FEC standards and or were not qualified to test the security and some of the other necessary qualifications that these machines needed to meet, or they were negligent In any case, we now call into question every machine by every vendor based on the certification being bogus in the first place.
Right. It's sort of the same. I mean, it's the same argument that could be applied to a whole lot of stuff. Show us that it works. Show us that it's safe. Show us that it's not rigged.
Right. And if we need an independent testing of it, no longer, you know, I want someone that has no vested interest in the outcome. And I want to make certain that we are allowed to have citizen oversight into this time around, because if we leave it up to a few individuals and we have no say or oversight in it, what are we, crazy? Obviously, there's going to be things swept under the rug, or people going to turn the other way. It's just human nature that in a situation where you're not being watched, checks and balances, as we all know, have to be in place. It keeps people honest, keeps people, you know, doing their job better than they would otherwise. It's just human nature. So we're saying that the certification process alone calls into question everything. Whether you know, and it deserves, if we remember the Pintos that blew up when you hit them from behind a long time ago in the 80s.
No, of them.
Well, you were young. I was there. And let me tell you, they didn't say, oh, I'll just get a different Pinto and get rid of this one. They recalled all of them, because when there's a flaw in one, there probably is a flaw in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying that, considering that we've only had the opportunity to actually test this one machine, our expert believes that the basic structure in all of Diebold programs is similar, if not the same, you know, in the architecture. But also, he wants to make certain that the other vendors, ES&S, Sequoia, and Hart, have also not gone down the same path, because they all went through the same certification process. And remember, they didn't test security.
Mm-hmm.
They left that blank.
Hey, check this out. The Bay Area reports, Inside Bay Area reported last Friday that California just rejected Diebold's flagship electronic voting machine because of printer jams and screen freezes.
Right. And this is the part that blows me out of the water. Cuyahoga County is trying to break neck speed to implement Diebold touchscreens into that huge county. It's the second largest in Ohio. And the board of the chairman of the Board of Elections said, well, we don't believe that report is necessarily accurate.
You mean California?
Yes.
Right. Three counties in California purchased 13,000 of these machines 2 years ago for over $40 million. And right now they're using them to collect dust in a warehouse.
And remember, folks, again, HABA only is a third funded. Many of the election officials are never allowed or not allowed to see the contract between the vendor and the Secretary of State's office. So at the end of the day, you don't know really what's in that contract, and you could be left holding the bag with regard to unexpected costs, whether it be upgrades or maintenance or, you know, technical support. All kinds of little surprises, and we all know before you sign anything, you better read it and have your make certain that it's legally sound and that you know what responsibilities that are going to be yours after it's all said and done. Because once you sign, they get their money, and you're left with whatever the contract says. So that's another dangerous thing is going on. Is there in Mississippi? They're not the circuit clerks that are in charge of the elections there are calling us saying, we haven't been allowed to see the contract yet.
Hmm.
And so they're pushing really hard to get Diebold touchscreens there as well. And they're very, very, they feel like they're being rushed to make an uninformed decision. And they were not dissatisfied with what they had. But at the same time, you know, why are they suddenly wanting all of Diebold all over Mississippi?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all of the evidence that's out there. Don't you think our Secretary of State, who are the chief election officers in all of the states, would not be willing to say, let's check this out and make in the best interest of the people come first, because after all, we pay for this stuff.
Right. You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO in Portland. Kathleen Wynn is my guest. She's an investigator and researcher with Black Box Voting, and you can find out more about what they're up to online at www.blackboxvoting.org. And the People Rise Up website at kboo.fm will have links to them and a whole bunch of other resources shortly after this show is over today. Okay, so let's move just, if you're comfortable with it, move away from the Hursty report at the moment, because we could talk about that for well over the half hour we've got.
And it's on our website if people want to take a look at it. It is technical for the purpose of the experts, and no one's refuted it in the expert field, nor has Diebold ever denied it.
Now, also last week, I guess a week ago yesterday, a volunteer with Black Box Voting was arrested.
He's a board member.
Okay, well, he's probably a volunteer board member.
He's on the board of directors of Black Box Voting.
Okay. He was arrested Tuesday evening, July 26, for trying to observe the Diebold Central Tabulator, which is a fancy word for the vote tallying machine, as votes were being counted in San Diego's mayoral election.
That's correct.
He has been charged with a felony. He actually is being arraigned in just a few hours down there. What's the latest on, are they actually going to arraign him on this felony as far as people are aware?
Well, as far as we know, he's going before them, and we don't know whether they're going to drop it. They may well drop the charges, because once it gets into the next level, he's not backing down.
Yeah, can you just describe the little scenario of his arrest?
Well, he sent 2 weeks beforehand. I mean, he's being accused of a publicity stunt. Folks, he did not intend to go there. He did not want to get arrested. However, he gave them 2 weeks' notice to the supervisor of elections, Michael Haas, and let them know well in advance he just wanted to make certain he would be able, as a citizen in California, the laws are that citizens have the right to view the counting of the votes. Now, if it's on a computer, then you've got to have that computer set so that people can see it as it's going on, because that's where you see glitches and malfunctions and problems, and that's why he wanted particularly to be able to see it. Well, they turned them to where they were 8 feet away, and they could not easily see them, and he knew that if they had just made any effort to comply with his request, he would have never, ever walked into that room.
Mm-hmm.
But when he couldn't see it, they actually opened the door. He didn't push his way in or force his way in, but they opened the door, and he just simply walked in about 4 feet and stopped. He did not interfere. He did not obstruct. He did not stop any election official from doing what they're supposed to do. He just wanted to see the counting of the vote. And, of course, he knew by virtue of wanting to do that, to assert his rights and not ask permission, because once that opportunity is passed, you don't get it again. And so he did not want it to pass. And so when he walked in there, he was fully prepared that they would arrest him. And the key thing here is when they did, the Michael Haas, the supervisor, registrar of voters, told the sheriff, go long on this one. I guess he wanted to just really punish him for asserting his rights. Now, in America, when you cannot watch the counting of your votes, there's something wrong here when you get arrested for saying, I want to see the counting of the votes, and if you're going to make it impossible for me to do so, and I have to do this, do not condemn me. And then if anything, it puts a light on, maybe, just maybe, the election officials are abusing or exploiting laws in such a way that the citizens are being deprived of their civil rights.
Right, and just in general, and it applies, like, from dealing with little kids all the way up through adult world and personal and business and all kinds of stuff. If someone doesn't want you to be able to see something, there's a decent chance they're trying to hide something.
Yeah.
You can't tell maybe what it is, but the fact that you're not allowed to see just, you know, strikes me wrong in a wide variety of circumstances. So now he's being charged with felony interfering with an election official.
Right.
Now,
technically he didn't.
Right. He was trying to view machines. In fact, I don't believe he, tried to block the official from doing any part of his job.
He did not touch anyone. He was not armed in any way.
Right.
He just simply wanted to see it.
Right. And so
now,
that's interfering.
The law clearly states that the citizen has the right to see the counting of the votes. Now, you got a question here. If it's a balance between did he obstruct or did they not allow him to see it, which is, to me, the priority, you know, to me it's a hands down.
Right.
The citizen's rights come first. That's what the election official is supposed to do, is administer the elections on behalf of the citizens. It's not his. It doesn't belong to him. He administers it.
Let's jump to the last main thing I wanted to touch on. And you know, we'll hopefully have something on the news or talk radio or other public affairs shows during the course of Thursday and Friday, giving an update on what, in fact, happened.
Yes.
Were charges dropped?
I'm sure it'll
be arraigned
on our website, too.
So there was a vote in Ohio yesterday to fill a special or a congressional seat. This is from this morning's New York Times. A former Republican legislator narrowly won a special congressional election in southern Ohio Tuesday, ending an underdog bid by her Democratic opponent to become the first combat veteran from the Iraq War to serve in Congress.
Paul Hackett, right.
Right. Paul Hackett lost to Gene Schmidt 52-48. The difference there is about 4,000 votes. Schmidt has been a supporter of George W. Bush. Mr. Hackett has called Mr. Bush a chicken hawk and a cheerleader for the enemy. Any reports about strange stuff in that vote, or did it seem to go okay, as far as you know?
Well, I understand it was very close, as you just said, and the bottom line is Mr. Hackett's office will be trying to reach black box voting to discuss what they feel they have, you know, their observations, I assume. We haven't heard from them yet. I know he was on Democracy Now! Talking about what occurred in Ohio, and we haven't heard any yet. We've got calls out to the folks that we do, you know, activists that are in Ohio to see if they can find any inside scoop, you know, about what occurred, because as of now, it was just simply very close, and the report was that he should have won.
So we got a few minutes left here. Let's get to things people can involve themselves in to secure electoral integrity in a country where we're so eager, at least the government is so eager, to export democracy.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're not allowed to have integrity in our voting system here, and people who challenge the idea that there is no integrity in the voting system or that it's not what it could be, you know, are attacked.
True.
So how can people, given that resounding, encouraging call to action, what can people do?
Do what you think is best. We hope that you'll visit our site, because we have activism things you can do now, and everybody's forte is different, so we'll just start checking out what you think you can do. But black box voting is calling for a moratorium on all spending and no more purchases of machines until we get to the bottom of this. And we're hoping that citizens will show up at their boards of elections, go to these meetings, read the report, familiarize themselves with what we've put up on our website as evidence, as ammunition for you to speak out to your election officials and say, wait a minute, here's evidence that we have questions to ask about. And there's enough information there to help you get started. It's not something you can just jump into and know everything right away. It is a very...
It's technical.
Technical. Well, it's not even just technical. I'm not a computer expert, but at the same time, American people have great common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's missing in this equation, is common sense. And I think that if we're going to have a host an online, this is another thing you can do. We hope you'll participate, or at least monitor it yourself, is an online think tank from August 27th through September 5th, all day long, and you'll be able to log on, and it'll direct you on our website how to go to that discussion forum where you can either participate or at least observe what is being said, because we believe that the American people have been left out totally in the process of how do we vote, and more importantly, how are our votes counted. And we have shown that there's so many problems with the system that everybody's trying to find a quick fix for. There is no quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
Our expert states there's no way, even if the will of the vendor was to fix it, it would take time and money to reprogram and re-engineer their entire architecture. And we believe that We have to check out all the other systems to make certain, because who wants to do faith-based voting? Not me, any more than I want to do faith-based banking. You know, it comes down to your vote is a direct correlation to how much money will eventually end up in your pocket based on policies that, of people that get into office, that they actually get passed. So we hope that, you know, that you will start familiarize yourself with what our activism, you know, suggestions are. And then you start to take one step. You can't do it all in one fell swoop, but start going to public meetings, take a video camera if you have one, and catch them talking about these systems and what they're saying so that we can build our case to the American people. We've got a huge problem here. And if we don't stand up to it and deal with it honestly, we're not going to have a republic. And because the whole point of America is your vote is not only cast, but it is counted accurately. And if we don't have that, which we don't, then we are really living in a matrix, which, you know, the perception of a democracy. And that is a shame when we can do something about it.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, you know, of course, I vote for a particular candidate in a given race, and that's who I would want to win personally. But it doesn't matter to me necessarily if the candidate I vote for loses, because I often pick the losers. But if everything's counted accurately, fine. It's fair.
I think America agrees with that.
Yeah.
I just don't think they realize that what we have in place now is not only expensive and good money after bad, we are throwing away our democracy if we continue to keep using the system. And be wary of any legislation that is being proposed. At some point it should. I think we should extend HAVA for a year at least and not force these election officials to, you know, put these systems in place right away. Because what we are finding is enough evidence to say, hold on, we need to check this out. Because if at the end of the day we all want fair and honest elections, I can't imagine one election official or Secretary of State or any citizen who wouldn't want to do that. Because ultimately we win. And so if you come and observe or participate in that online think tank, maybe you'll get to hear some ideas and ways that we can approach this problem that might make you, help you in deciding what you can do in your own community.
Kathleen Wynn is an investigator and researcher with Black Box Voting. You can find out more about them online at www.blackboxvoting.org. Thank you very much for
joining us this morning,
Kathleen. And if you're interested in contacting me about anything you've heard today or any other week, you can send email to kboo@riseup.net or regular letter mail here down at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. You can also check out more information about this topic at the People Rise Up website at kboo.fm. Thank you very much for listening to the program.